The following message is by Pastor John Piper. More information from Desiring God is available at www.desiringgod.org.
For the last 25 years, one of my joys has been to write and read Advent poems for the church on the four Sundays of Advent. And those of you who are newer at Bethlehem perhaps should know that the poems aim to speak truth about God and His ways in the world and with man, but they are imaginative reconstructions of what may have been, but probably wasn't the case. Behind the figures of the Bible, historically, I aim not to create anything that could not be, nor to contradict anything that the Bible says. The reason I do these is first because in my effort to say things new and differently, I see God more clearly and I love Him more dearly. And I hope that some of the spillover of that will be your portion as well. This year, my aim is to read a four-part cycle on Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we know about Nebuchadnezzar from 2 Kings and Daniel and Jeremiah mainly. And I find the character of Nebuchadnezzar somewhat baffling as he is described, especially in the book of Daniel. He is the king of Babylon who destroyed Jerusalem in 587 and took God's people into exile. Whether he ever proved to be a true worshiper of the living God, Yahweh, Daniel leaves, I think, unclear. I find his behavior so strange that I am reconstructing his involvement in a moon cult that nobody knows about, a moon-worshipping cult. And I'll have to make you wait until the fourth Sunday of Advent to find out whether I think he was born again. This is Nebuchadnezzar, part one. Nebuchadnezzar hated night, but loved the dark. It is the plight of every king and every soul who cannot sleep, but plays a role that he is not, and must conceal the truth with artificial zeal for what he does not love, and hide his secret passion, like a bride adorned in white, who does not prize the happy man before her eyes. Before his rise to power on the throne of Babylon, the dawn, in spite of light, had been for years a sweet relief. And with the tears of weariness, but not remorse, he welcomed day and blessed the course of heaven's blazing sun for slight relief. And then began the bright and hollow masquerade of fear and holy reverence to appear as if the gods were treasured or esteemed, as if this cult was more than Babylon's devout charade, and Baal could speak, or Nebo made a sound. This would-be king had found the secret of the ancient mound from when Sumerians first walked the sands of Babylon and stalked their prey at night 4,000 years before, so when the moon appears, they might with blood appease Raku, the moon god, long forgotten through the centuries, except by some who wake in fear at night and come to secret shrines and offer beasts or men and long for bogus priests and silent gods and day. This was the darkness where he lived because he bound himself for life with both a sacrifice and solemn oath. I live by blood and by the moon and vow by these not to impugn the name Raku nor be released till I myself become a beast. And when he took the throne, Nebuchadnezzar brought, unknown to all his court, his nobles and his wife, the secret of the band of midnight worshippers who met at full moon every month to wet their knives with blood and chant their spells and beg Raku to grant them dreams of what their fate would be. This was the source of all his rage against Jerusalem. The stage for siege and plundering was set with bloody sacrifice. The debt was paid this night with human life, and Jewish blood dripped from the knife. At full moon, when the worshippers believe that Raku never errs, a voice was heard. The temple for the Most High God, whom I abhor, stands unassaulted on a hill called Zion in the east. Who will this night heed my command and go destroy that happy place and throw those people in my net and bring them bound to me? If they can sing beside the Chebar, let them make their melodies of death and slake their thirst for home and land upon the bitter streams of Babylon. A bloodstained silence followed these dark words, and all agreed. The keys to Zion had been given to the king of Babylon. They drew the manifest conclusion. So, the moon god was at war, and though Jerusalem should boast the Most High God, this cult knew well the host of Babylon, led by the king, with venom from the moon, would sting Jerusalem and paralyze her armies with the painful cries of poison from the lunar pot, or so they thought, of Raku. Not until two decades had gone by would all of Babylon espy the truth that in the plundering of Zion's wealth, another king unseen would triumph in the loss of his own holy place and toss his rebel governors away like chaff before the wind and pay their sins its portion by the hand of enemies, just as he planned. And so, without a clue what he would now achieve, the key to Zion in his hand, the king of Babylon sealed with his ring the solemn declaration that Nebuchadnezzar would combat the Most High God of Israel, break him, and bring him bound to dwell, a trophy and phenomenon beneath the foot of Babylon. For reasons he could see and some that he could not, he put his thumb on Israel more gently than he planned. And he made the man Jehoiakim his servant, just a puppet king, until the dust he licked could no more be endured. So he rebelled and thus ensured his own demise in chains, and saw Nebuchadnezzar put his claw through temple rings and carry home to Babylon beneath the dome of Bel and Nebo holy things not meant for use by any kings but one. And then his son, in 3 months after he was dead, showed he, just like his father, was a fool, a king at 18 years old, with cruel and final chains, carried away for 37 years to stay behind the bars of Babylon. And then his kinsmen had to don the puppet robes 11 years and dance to foreign tunes and fears until the day that he could bear no more and cut his strings to dare the king of Babylon to try and take Jerusalem, the high and holy city of the Most High God. Now finally, the boast of Babylon felt no restraint from any source, and every taint of insolence he recompensed with brutal siege until he sensed the saints were eating afterbirth. And then he lashed the mighty girth of this great city's walls and brought them to the ground. And then he thought, I will teach this high god and all his starving worshipers to fall before the gods of Babylon. And so he put his torch upon the altar of the holy place and burned without a single trace the house of Israel's God, and took the sacred vessels home to cook the sacrificial meat he ate in honor of the moon. The great and small of all the Jews were sent in bonds to Babylon and went as if a monster swallowed them alive and wept, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, where is the Lord, our mighty God, before this horde of blind idolaters? The king could hear their cries and felt the sting. Bring me their puppet king and all his sons, the king declared. And call these weeping exiles now to see just who is blind and who is free to worship as he pleased and smite his foe, to live in endless night with memory so dark and clear. He daily cries, O death, come near. He turned to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard. I can, he said, create the darkness and the light. And at his nod, the hand of Nebuzaradan slew all the sons of Zedekiah, small and great. And as the monarch wailed, they stabbed him in the eyes and jailed him till the day he died. And then the mighty throng of exiles, men and women, old and young, went east to Babylon. And at the feast of victory, year after year, the king would try to hide his fear because the moon was full and he could not control what soon would be. Would his dominion be increased or would he be a mindless beast? What had he done? A mighty blow at God? How little did he know? O kings of earth and presidents, do you have any notion whence blows the wind that moves your mind? Or whither any bill you've signed will lead? Or what 10 billion waves and ripples are unleashed in caves and mountains, slums and palace halls when you make your decrees? What walls are built or fall? What bridges stand or full of men collapse? What lands live happily and well or cling to pleasant scorpions and sing of death unwittingly? Do you, the kings and presidents, see through 10,000 days and know the end of your intent or comprehend the outcome of your peace or wars, or even if your plan is yours? This is the light of candle one. God governs everything you've done. You never take him by surprise. The dark is bright before his eyes. All kingly ways are in his hands, and all your deeds fulfill his plans. And if you make a war on God, you find that you are but his rod.
Thank you for listening to this message by John Piper, pastor for preaching at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. We invite you to visit Desiring God online at www.desiringgod.org. There you'll find hundreds of sermons, articles, radio broadcasts, and much more, all available to you at no charge. Our online store carries all of Pastor John's books, audio, and video resources. You can also stay up to date on what's new at Desiring God. Again, our website is www.desiringgod.org. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-346-4700. Our mailing address is Desiring God, 2601 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55406. Desiring God exists to help you make God your treasure, because God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him.